This is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Alyssa Griffin, Executive Director here at the Arts Center. In this podcast, we discuss how art and life blend. Today's podcast is called Nurturing Lifelong Creativity. My guest is Denise Holly, an artist, an art educator, a founding member of the Hammond Regional Arts Center, and a lifetime board member of our organization. Denise, thank you so much for being here. I'd like to talk to you about how you encourage children and adults to engage in their creative side. But first, I want to ask you, what led you into art education?
Initially, it was the art background that I have. But one day, my neighbor, Cindy Fowler, gave me an invitation to come teach the lab school. I had never considered being a teacher of art, although I had the degree in art from the University of Maryland, but she believed that I could do it. Mm-hmm. So in August of 1994, I started. And at the time, Principal Paulette Cefalu-Wachowicz, she was incredibly supportive and appreciative of my work. The lab school's atmosphere was definitely charged with creativity across the curriculum. We had, storytelling in the library and science experiments that were art-based seemingly, and social studies, just taking the kids places that mm-hmm. they might never go to.
That's incredible. So what do you think are some of the most important things about art education being part of the core curriculum for a child as they're growing and learning different things based on their age?
Well, what I believe is that humans are makers, and it should be nurtured at home, encouraged, and at school as well. It should be mandatory in my book. Art making gives them an opportunity to express themselves, to tell stories of their own, share feelings, and remember special times and people.
Sure.
So it gives voice to the students. It's not always, sometimes it's a technical thing that you want them to learn and you have them do it, but once they do it, it can move into other realms.
Right.
Okay. So, not all students are going to be artists in their lives, but it lays a groundwork for future of problem solving and cooperation and,
Absolutely. Art seems like a very individual activity, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're not creative enough or if you're not skilled enough, people kind of get in their minds that this is me alone and it has nothing to do with problem solving or it has nothing to do mm-hmm. with cooperating with others. And that's mm-hmm. really not the case when it's all boiled down. So it's actually, an encouraging opportunity for kids to grow in those areas that mm-hmm. they might not get otherwise. Mm-hmm. You've heard me tell the story because you've been here when we did the Maya Levy grant the first year back in 2012, I believe it was. And we went into the classroom with the check for the art teacher. We got the opportunity to watch her teach a lesson. And she was teaching pre-K students, and she was asking them questions about Kandinsky's concentric circles. And it occurred to me while she was going through that lesson that they were talking about colors. They were counting the circles. They were making their own circles. They were working on their motor skills. And I thought, that's what they're doing in their other classes. They're talking mm-hmm. about what is a circle? What does it look like? Mm-hmm. How do you draw it? What colors are these? Mm-hmm. They were four-year-old kids. And so it was just like a creative way and a fun and engaging way for them to reinforce what they were already doing mm-hmm. with their regular teacher. And so it was really neat.
Yeah.
So in your classroom situation, or even now that you're outside of the classroom and you're interacting with kids, what do you do to encourage them if they have creative blocks or if they're discouraged and they think, well, I can't do that, I don't know how?
Well, that question brings to mind Peter Reynolds' book, The Dot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm not familiar.
Oh, goodness. Everybody needs to be familiar with this, adults as well. The Dot starts with a little girl who's sitting in the art class and, with nothing on her paper. And the teacher comes over and says, a polar bear in a snowstorm. And the little girl's kind of curmudgeon and is saying, I can't make art, I can't draw, blah, blah, blah. She says, well, make a mark. Well, she just makes a dot with a big whoosh. Mm-hmm. You know, and from then on, the story unfolds where this little girl ends up encouraging someone else with that same phrase, just make your mark. The teacher had taken her mark that she had on that one paper and put it in a little frame and put it up on the wall. And that's what she saw when she came back.
Wow.
So encouragement comes in all kinds of ways for parents and students. The most important thing is, and I've done it myself, oh, that's a nice fox. Well, it's a kitty cat or it's a, you know, a dog or whatever. It's something else. So don't come in with that. Mm-hmm. How about what's happening in your picture?
Right.
And let them be, because you can bet they have the narrative to go with that picture. That's what's so amazing. It's like they are in the process. They're making something. They could probably write out or speak out all the steps they did to do it. Mm-hmm. They can then give you a whole emotional story about that picture. So if you ask them what's happening in that picture and then, you know, praise them honestly. Don't oversimplify the praise. Don't compare, you know, oh, well, that person, you did it like this. No, don't do that. And it's just be very specific. And that will allow them to realize their efforts are being recognized appropriately. And it will encourage them to do more. You know, and a lot of times adults don't realize that, especially parents of young children. When they see these lovely messes or beautiful, you know, just color ranges, if you ask them, they will tell you all about that picture. And better to do that and let them, they visually did it. Now they're going to speak it to you. They're also imagining things mm-hmm. as they go along, maybe. But it's that process that they're going to feel quite fulfilled.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, my son is 4, and so he's doing art at his Montessori school, and I have noticed that one time he'll tell me about his picture, and it's one thing, and the next time he tells me it's something completely different. Mm-hmm. So he is, you know, using his imagination mm-hmm. to see it even differently than he originally imagined it. Mm-hmm. But he comes up with some really interesting things, like, this is a tricky shark. Yeah. Like, why is it tricky?
Adjectives. Right? Adjectives.
And he just now started to draw things more realistically, mm-hmm. which was really fun. But what happened was I told him, why don't you draw a picture of Daddy? And he said, I can't do that. I don't know how to draw. And I said, well, you know how to draw circles, right? You're really good at circles. And he said, well, yeah. I said, well, just, you know, I sort of walked him through, mm-hmm. draw a circle for the face and draw a circle for the eyes. And, you know, we used a bunch of circles. And so he loves that now. He gets a kick mm-hmm. out of it because mm-hmm. they come out sort of funny, you know,
yeah.
and he thinks that they're great that way. So he drew Daddy, if Daddy was a potato, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came home with a picture the other day that had what looked like hair, you know, lines shooting out all the uh-huh. way around this little face. And he said, this is an animal that has a bunch of legs, and no matter how it falls, it will always stand up.
Oh.
I thought, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's inventiveness.
Yes.
I mean, you'd be basically, yeah, you gotta let them grow where, you know, where they're going.
Absolutely.
It's going to take them somewhere really positive.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So myself, as a non-artist, but as somebody who's willing to learn and listen, what do you do for adults who are having a creative block or feeling a little bit discouraged? Is that the same kind of encouragement that you give to children, or is it different?
I would say, you know, when they're going to their own subject matter, first of all, they have to come to learn processes. And that should not be the difficult part. It's something that you just do. Mm-hmm. When you're drawing and you use a pencil, and how do you use a pencil and all these different ways. And I know I have one process where I'm doing a value scale where they have to use the actual pencil to show the darkest dark they can make all the way to the lightest light. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, that's like a little fold in the paper. And on the other side, which is larger, just making a design that does not have to be a particular thing, but they go in and they have to use each one of those values and match it inside the design somewhere. Okay, so that's kind of an activity. Mm-hmm. It's still creative. They're still making still making their own design and choosing how to use the value scale. So there's some wealth there in what they do next. So this is something as, you know, there's no judgment there. They can make it, you know, they have to have buy-in. You know, they got to want to do it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, I think starting with things like that, and as they build competence and confidence to share their own story, that's where everything gets blended. And an adult, you can ask them about things that they enjoy. Just like your son, I can't draw people, or, mm-hmm. you know, start with a potato. No. But, you know, they have things. Everybody has a wealth of knowledge from their life. Mm-hmm. And what they get to choose. You know, they get to choose where their art's going to go.
So do you think that those practices like you're talking about are mm-hmm. a good kind of basis or a foundation to get started for somebody who feels like maybe I'm not very creative, but I want to be?
Yeah.
Maybe you start with some of those practices and just sort of build off of those?
Yeah. And I mean, I love pencil and I would always strive to go pencil first. Mm-hmm. You know, in drawing those shapes. And if you've ever done a pentangle.
I have not.
Pentangles. that's a specialized little piece of art that it again uses pattern and the shading, you know, the values. But they're almost like a meditative type of thing. Mm-hmm. And for anybody to start with those kind of things, even playing with color,
sure,
not trying to get, you know, a human face or a, you know, but playing is the best venue.
Absolutely. There have been articles released recently about how much benefit there is to play, mm-hmm. even for adults, mm-hmm. you know, benefit to being more creative in your workspace, mm-hmm. and being more creative in your home life. And, you know, we have a lot of stress. We're all under a lot of stress, especially recently. And so we forget to stop and play. You mm-hmm. know, you're not encouraged to do that after mm-hmm. your kid. Yeah. After those days are over, it's all business from here, mm-hmm. right? But really what scientists and artists alike are understanding more and more these days is that play is just as important as it was when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. And another thing we need to remember is that play is very important for kids. You know, sometimes getting my kid off to school in the morning is like, okay, hurry up, do this, do that. Yeah. And it's a task list that we check off. And he's saying, but I really want to just play with my dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, okay, good, we'll be late today.
Oh, you yeah. know? Well, you fine. Know, there's a school called, or a theory of, you know, like a Montessori theory, but Emilio Reggio. Mm-hmm. And it's all about the kids physically doing things. And a lot of it's outside. They even have schools that are literally, the children are outside all day.
Wow.
And even if it's raining, really? They cook their own food. They gather their own whatever. You know, let them be outside. And of course, preschools, they do allow them to be outside. Mm-hmm. One of the lessons I would do with the kindergartners at the lab school is I would share with them the work of Andy Goldsworthy. All of his art is created in nature. It's extraordinary. And he takes photographs of it. Mm-hmm. And then he walks away. So all he has is the photograph. The piece is allowed to go back into nature.
Hmm.
But having the kids watch that and then take them to the playground and watch them cooperatively make something together. And we, you know, I would take pictures of them creating, but also create of the final product. The documentation of them doing that kind of work and able to see it. It's showing their development. It's showing them being cooperative. And the more they can see it, you know, the development. Oh, that's when we did, you know.
Yes.
So my friend was the lead teacher at a Reggio school in Washington, D.C. And everywhere you looked in that school, there were processes. You saw the kids in photographs doing processes, but they also had an art studio. Now, in that art studio, the kids might stay for an hour or two, and it was only like six or seven at a time. Wow. And they had all of these things available to them. And that teacher is still putting things online. It's just so incredible. But it's in the Capitol. Mm-hmm. It's on Capitol Hill. So they used to take walks down to the Capitol, and they'd look at the mall, but then they'd go back to their blocks, which is a huge table, and they would be setting up what they saw.
Wow.
So, you know, again, they're cooperating. They're viewing something, mm-hmm. and then it's their interpretation. So the making, and it doesn't have to be a permanent thing.
Right.
So I can understand why he might want to stay home.
Stay home and play with his dinosaurs, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just 30 seconds talking with Denise Holly right here on the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast.
Got an idea for a podcast of your own? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record or edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, and they do the hard work for you. Got an idea for a podcast? Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome back. We're here on the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast talking about nurturing lifelong creativity with Denise Holly. So as we said before, you're an artist. You've been with the Arts Center since its inception in 1982, a lifetime board member here. You've been an art teacher. I think once a teacher, always a teacher, correct?
Yeah.
But your husband also has a creative job. Michael Holly is the Holly of Holly and Smith Architects. Mm-hmm. And so what do you think your background along with his background, how do you think they've impacted the way that you raised your kids and how you taught them to view the world and to approach different things as they grew up?
Our sons are both creatives. They are makers. They create things. And dressage is Claire's art, mm-hmm. art form, you might say, with horses. Michael and I always, you know, they were living in architecture. I mean, he was always working. I'm sorry, it was lonely sometimes. He was working very hard. So they saw him, but they also saw our artist friends, myself making things, and they were encouraged and exposed to all the arts. Besides architecture and art, it was theater and music and dance. And Martin and Graham both play guitar, and Graham does DJing and, you know, also dance. Things were always around us. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that Michael and I loved that we feel really impacted our children was travel. Taking them to a place that is, you know, that they might not speak the language,
right.
Or living in a different way, like when we were on a sailboat with another family, Terry Frisbee and Nigel Calder. She's an artist. We actually did underwater drawings.
Really?
Yeah, while we snorkeled.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
and the kids just with their children just living on a boat, you know, having fishing and, you know, mm-hmm. just really immersed in nature, but also in another culture where you see things, people doing things differently.
Right.
Living in small houses that might have a half of a 45 gallon as their stove, mm-hmm. you know. I think there was quite a while during their growing up that they were really hoping to live in a suburban neighborhood, like a subdivision. Mm-hmm. But that was not in our books, as you well know. We're right over there. But that really made an impression as well.
Yeah, travel can definitely inspire and encourage. And sometimes even when you're not going into, I mean, obviously you cross any boundary and you're going into a different culture, like it or not. But even when you're not going to another country, you know, just to be able to see the landscape, you know, the sun shining on these kinds of trees instead of the kinds that we're used to, you know, things like that is very inspiring. And it's an important thing, and unfortunately right now we're not as able to travel as as we once were, but it's an awesome opportunity to be able to see something new and something different, you know, without having to look into a book or on a computer, you know. And it's like God's creativity that you're looking at. So what are some other things? Are there any other things that you can suggest for parents, maybe who are not artists, to help their kids learn and explore and develop a little bit with their artistic abilities or just their creativity?
I'm going to say encourage them in the curiosity in the physical world around them, like we were just speaking about, but move away from screen time, which so many are already addicted to.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad that they're not getting the tactile, unless it's a screen. They're not getting the tactile, the, you know, smell-o-vision isn't here yet. So, you know, I mean, just being out in the world. And like I spoke about the outdoor school, I think it's really, really important for them to come to their own devices, so to speak, and not the screen devices.
Yeah.
Go out and make things, you know, in nature, but really give them opportunities to have, you know, untethered moments, you know, where they can do some exploration. And maybe it's, you know, they get a magnifying glass and go look at some dirt somewhere. Or, you know, I just had some kids over at the pond house and they had never, you know, they had never been to the house. So we drove around in the golf cart for a few minutes. But as we did, we stopped and we looked at a winged elm, an elm tree that literally on every twig, there's a little wing on either side of the twig. And we looked at all the gravel and for fossils, which was very easy to find and to know where those came from. So just spark some energy, some curiosity in their everyday life.
What you're saying about screens is so absolutely true. And it's easier now for kids to have access to screens than it was many years ago. And it seems so much more commonplace and normal for them to go into public and at the grocery store, they're holding a phone or an iPad or something like that. But, you know, I hope that people are encouraged by what you're saying to just have their children look up. You know, if you're in
look
the car,
around.
Just look around and you know, watch for trees and watch for squirrels and birds and things like that. And at my house, the birds are extremely active right now.
I know. And listen to them. A couple of years ago, I saw this one piece where, you know, someone that couldn't even walk yet was looking at a magazine. A child was looking at a magazine. But she was trying to swish the pages like it was
goodness.
An iPad. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Didn't know how to turn a page.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
There's something to be said for the technology that we have available to us. And there are plenty of artistic jobs that are related to that technology where you can take that artistic skill that you've gotten through school and apply it to, you know, web design or graphic design. And I mean, it just like it's phenomenal how many jobs are available to combine those two things.
Well,
however, it also takes that creative energy and that creative spark to get to that point where you're a good designer. And a lot of that is detail and watching things and learning through those years, you know, and developing that skill as you grow. So, you know, maybe split the time between the screen and the grass. There's plenty of opportunities for that. So the last few years, or the last year, I should say, it feels like a few. The last year has been tough and it's been stressful for a lot of folks. folks. And so moving from children to adults, what are some things that adults can do to, you know, use the arts as maybe a coping mechanism or a stress relief opportunity? What are some ways that maybe non-artists can engage in the arts or, you know, even view art rather than make art to help them out with that stress that they're feeling?
Okay, the first thing I would say is visit your local Hammett Regional Arts Center because it's the engagement with other people is really healthy. I mean, they're saying all these people who have stayed home for so long and they don't have anybody else living with them. You know, they're saying connect with someone at least once a week. And I'm thinking, so they're left to their own devices or whatever through the week. It's like, come to one of the classes here. All levels are welcome.
Yes.
And, you know, and definitely come and look at the art that's on display here, which right now it's Youth Art Month. And you'll see lots of wonderful student artwork. But take a trip to New Orleans or Baton Rouge to the LSU Museum in the Shaw Center. Go beyond your little circle. I know things are opening up, and to stay healthy, I think it's really important that we engage in being together again.
Yeah, that community opportunity. Yeah. And the wonderful thing about a place like the Hammond Regional Arts Center is that there's lots of vast open space in this building. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to social distance. It's mm-hmm. easy to interact without being too close to someone or mm-hmm. without having to be kind of cooped up with other people. And even our classes, they're called artistry classes. It's a second Saturday of the month situation, 2 hours. We space everybody out. We have a wonderful teacher in Shayla Kelly, and it's from the folks that have taken the class recently, they are loving it.
Yes.
They're enjoying every minute of it. They're singing her praises because she's so good at instruction for all ages. And so, yes, that's an opportunity that anyone can take advantage of, and they can find out more on our website at hammondarts.org. So thank you for that. And there's a lot to be discovered here in Hammond. There's a lot of artists who are working. There's a lot of people who have been involved with the Hammond Regional Arts Center for decades, mm-hmm. And who have either volunteered their time or, you know, been a part of our art exhibitions and things. And so once you start to really look into who's doing what around here mm-hmm. and what's available, it's really a vast variety of things that you mm-hmm. might be interested in. We have a robust schedule this year, 2021.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
So definitely, visit us on social media or on our website so you can find out more about that. Denise, I really appreciate your time today. It's been really fun talking to you. Do you have a favorite quote or any last things you want to leave us with before we go?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm holding a little sign that I've had in my classroom for a very long time, and someone made it for me. I go to the national conferences every year, and I talked to this person, and I said, she was having difficulty in the maybe with discipline or something, I don't know. And I just said, look, you know, I said, be kind to all. You know, it really kind of covers a lot of things. That's one of the, you know, rules, quote, rules in mm-hmm. my classroom. She found me the next day. She had embroidered it on a napkin.
Oh, wow.
And so I put it in this frame and put in my classroom. But of course, I translated it as well into this very colorful plaque. And it says, be kind to our home.
Absolutely. Be kind to all and be kind to your home. That's great advice. So my favorite quote is, dancing makes everything better. My grandmother said that. She'd say it all the time, even after she lived for several years with Alzheimer's. So it was like part of her. So let's all take away some of the tactics and the ideas that Denise has brought to us today about nurturing our creativity and just spurring that lifelong opportunity for creativity with our kids, with ourselves. Let's go out and dance because it makes everything better.
Yeah.
Thank you again so much, Denise, for being here. Thank you for all the work that you've done for the Hammond Regional Arts Center over many years. It's much appreciated. You've been listening to the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. Thank you for joining us. Have a creative day.